And we have projects that we have committed of 402 million. And I think I will take the next slide as read. It is just to explain what the terms in the financial report mean. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you saying a loan to Cuba?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. Yes. Proceed, my sister.
Thank you. Well, the last slide, what we have is just to explain the terms that are used in the financial report for ease for members. And that brings us to the end of the report. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, DG.
Any amplification, DG?
No, Chair, I think the report was self-explanatory, and we can engage with the questions and comments that emerge. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. Any hands, honourable members? I'll ask for the second time. Any hands, honourable members? I can't see any now.
Chair?
Yes, this is Dawson.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to check with the ARF. Have we been to oversee any of the African elections that have happened in this year? And what would be their maybe a short report on the outcomes of the elections as observers in the African continent? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. There aren't any other hands, so that will be the only hand. If you can just indicate the terms for the loan agreement with Cuba. Over to you, DG.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask Dineo to deal with the terms of the loan agreement. Chair, with Honorable Sunny's question, and Dineo may come in, but In the current period, we've got a team overseeing the elections in Angola, and this is part of our role as in SADC, where we were, you know, the chair of the organ on peace and security, which had a particular interest in this matter. But we are also collecting information on all the elections that are taking place in Africa with a view to compiling a report on issues such as, you know, the nature of these elections, were they free and fair, because we do engage with all our sort of counterparts on these issues, where, you know, through SADC in particular, we are asked to be observers, and we generally go through the SADC team. But I do feel that, you know, the report as suggested is important for us to, you know, to just give a comprehensive one. I'll hand over to my colleague Dineo just to amplify this if I've left anything out, but also to speak specifically on the Cuba terms of the terms of the Cuba loan. Dineo, over to you. Dineo? I seem to have lost my colleague there.
DG, I was saying, I'm sure you are familiar with the matter. Maybe you can deal with it, or any one of the members of your team. It looks like she has got connectivity problems. Take over, DG.
So on the Cuba loan agreement issue, can I suggest that I come back with the details of that one, Chair? I really don't want to get that one wrong.
Oh, they say she's back now. How's the now?
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I got disconnected. And I just got my colleague send me a message to say the question was on the terms and conditions of the current loan that we have running with Cuba.
Mm.
So the terms of the loan is that they have access, we gave them access to 140 million facility, which they have utilized, and that loan, the repayment terms of the loan is up till the year 2026, and they will pay in two installments per year. So the first installment that was due after the validity period of the loan was in December 2021, which Cuba has honored. The second installment was in June 2022, which Cuba has honored. The interest rate on the loan is 4% per annum. And Cuba has not dishonored any of the terms and conditions on this particular loan, and we hope it will be that way till the end of the loan period. And as Ms. Shamima had said, Cuba has requested an extension on this loan facility, which a decision has not yet been made. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. The Honorable Deputy Minister, do you want to say something in closing? Honorable Boetes. Okay. DG, you, anything?
Thank you, Chair. No, nothing from my side. Thank you, Chair.
I take this opportunity to thank you and your team, the Deputy Minister, the members of the team who may have been part of us, wherever they are in foreign missions. We also want to thank members of the media and South Africans who may have joined this interaction of the fourth quarter between us and the department. This is how we come to the end of the first part with the department. So you and your team, Deputy Minister and DG, are released. We will now get into our own item, Honorable Members, the program for the committee. How's the name?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Luba, I hope I have the sharing. Okay, I do. Chairperson, because of lack of time, what I'll do, I'll just zoom in into a few slides. In terms of the process, the committee will just be reminded that they embarked on a strategic plan session where they were charting forward issues and priorities for the next 5 years, much as we are left with very few years in the sixth parliament, and then also identified what were priorities for this year, 2022 financial year. So the main strategic priorities which are guiding the program of the committee are what the sixth parliament is prioritizing, being oversight, deepening democracy, public involvement, participation in internationally, and also cooperative governance, strengthening workings with that, and then legislative capacity. So basically, what we'll be focusing on, Chairperson, is the mission of the committee is well known, is that we ensure that the policy, foreign policy, is based on democratic values and is aligned to domestic priorities and national interest. Now, in terms of our oversight chairperson, it has to relate to the strategic priorities of Parliament and also to
the recording has stopped.
Tailor and also to align to what the department is going to be working on. So what the committee identified as a priority is the overseeing of the implementation of national interest. And it came to the attention of the committee that a national interest still yet to be reviewed in terms of a new sort of approach, a national approach to national interest has to emerge. And so that the committee in its oversight strategy, it will be able to identify what are the elements that compose a South African national interest and also devise a means of overseeing that. So national interest became important. I should also add that, Chairperson, the department did have their own workshop in terms of a document which they are yet to present to the committee, which talks to what is envisaged as national interest. So in response to, in preparation of that, the committee is going to be having its own workshop in September where with experts, with stakeholders, so that the committee can engage, can join the national discourse in terms of what constitutes national interest of South Africa. Now, the other important element, strategy priority, which the committee identified is economic diplomacy. This is due to the fact that the president, during SONA, identified the challenge that South Africa is facing because of mainly the COVID-19 pandemic, that everybody should try and grow the economy. So in this department, economic diplomacy is a response to that call by the president. So it means the committee now would have to prioritize its focus on the activities of the department in terms of achieving economic diplomacy. Then the next one will be to focus on the policy on Africa. As Africa is at the center of South Africa's foreign policy, it means the committee would also have to gear its oversight strategy towards overseeing that there is a policy on Africa and then there is implementation on the undertakings by the department in Africa, both bilaterally with different countries and multilaterally within SADC, within the AU, and that the implementation of the African Free Continental Free Trade Area is also being done by South Africa. So those are the areas where the committee will also be focusing on. In terms of peace and security, which is another area, this is where South Africa is engaging with different countries, you know, providing mediation facilities and also having foot soldiers on the ground. We do have members of the South African Defence Force in the UN mission in the DRC. We do have another mission in Mozambique, where the insurgency in Mozambique is being addressed by SADC. So all those issues also form part and parcel of the mandate of this committee. So the oversight strategy will be looking into processes of that nature. Now, in terms of global governance, Chairperson, the main thing is for South Africa, in accordance with National Development Plan, that South Africa should lead and continue to be a leader in terms of championing South Africa's foreign policy and national interest in multilateral settings, and also follow up on the reform of global governance. The migration from the African Renaissance Fund, Chairperson, to SADC is an issue which has been with the department for since 2009, and now currently I think the chair and the committee have just heard that Treasury has also raised a concern in terms of the non-migration of ARF to SATPA, because there are funds which are allocated meant for operationalization of SATPA, but they are not used year in, year out, because there is no agency at place which needs to be funded by this fund. So those are the issues which the committee will have to be grappling with. Now, general operational issues, Chairperson, is part of the strategy of the committee. Some of them were raised in the past meeting. ICT, property management, expenditure, on, you know, compensation of employees, expenditure, issues of, you know, many other issues which are of an operational nature, which are becoming challenges for the department, will also form part of the strategy of the committee. So, Chairperson, now I'll just highlight some of the few things which the committee will be looking at in terms of national interest, is to adopt what the committee has named the people-centered oversight strategy on foreign policy and national interest, and also to establish those structures, community structures, which the committee will be engaging through its outreach programs. And now also the symbiotic relationship of domestic development priorities and African global, I think that one is where the committee would really want to monitor how the department handles the challenges that domestically there are challenges, but foreign policy extends to making South Africa also, you know, ensure the development of Africa and also ensure global transformation while it tackles domestic challenges. This is the question which was raised, I think, in the last meeting by the chair, but the department had its own answer on it. So those are the relationships between what the department does and whether it brings any qualitative and quantitative results to the people of South Africa and also Africa and the global South. Now, in terms of, again, national interest, the committee will have to ensure that it's aligned to values and then constitutional principles, and also that it remains consistent, so that the issues of either the media or the international community questioning South Africa's national interest should be put to rest. So consistency will be one area where the committee will be monitoring national interest. And then also to ensure that South Africa remains and maintains its image and stature and moral high ground and standing in the region, the continent, and global, as provided for by the National Development Plan. Now, in terms of economic diplomacy, what the committee will be looking at is all the structured bilateral mechanisms. There are 135 where the department has bilateral relations with different countries in terms of following up on trade, investment, tourism, and other related matters, which are actually meant to alleviate or address the triple challenges facing the country. So this is where the committee will have to engage with the oversight model again to ensure that the committee is able to engage with counterparts, committees in those countries that South Africa has bilateral relations of this nature, so that the committees will be able to monitor the implementation of such structured bilateral mechanisms. And that they should be qualitative and quantitative. Now, with regards to there is a body which has been established called the Coordination Mechanism for Economic Diplomacy, COMET. And its role is to coordinate advancement of South Africa's economic policy. This is a body which the committee might want to engage so that in the future its work can also be aligned to what the department is doing. The body composes of private sector and all the departments which are participating in this, like tourism, like home affairs, and economic development. So all these bodies which compose COMET, the committee might want to engage them as a group so that at least there is synergy between what the department is doing and what this committee is supposed to be doing. Now, on Africa, the main thing is Africa should remain, as the committee has been reiterating, that Africa should remain the center of South Africa's foreign policy. And the fact that whatever activities like reduce the number of missions should not affect Africa. And then the fact that there is the Continental Free Trade Area in place, then it means the committee will have to, will be engaging and monitoring that actually South Africa benefits from this, and also to confer with other committees in Parliament, which on issues that are cross-cutting, because the issues that this committee deals with are cross-cutting in nature, and there is a need for conferment, and also to advise other committees in terms of what the policy position is of South Africa in some of these issues. Currently, it's the increased prevalence of irregular migration, which touches upon home affairs, customs, and also this committee will be interested in that. And then the border management processes, there's a BMA, there's an authority in place, and the committee will also like to engage with other committees in terms of how this is being managed. And the issue which was raised by members in the previous meeting of visas, because the African Free Trade Area, it's focusing on movement of people across borders, and then if there are visa challenges, then it would mean that South Africa will have to relook and relook into its policies. Harmonization of policies might be necessary. So this is one area where the committee will have to engage with other committees in order to see how to go forward. And then also there are, in terms of deepening democracy, which is what Parliament has said, there are elections which are happening within the SADC region. Recently it was in Angola, and Lesotho is coming, and there are dynamics in those two countries in terms of the political activities and challenges that are being addressed in those two countries especially. And then continentally there are elections which are going on. We had recently in Kenya, and the committee will be engaging in some of these areas in terms of deepening democracy and ensuring that elections actually do bring about democracy. And then the issue of self-reliance for Africa, which is a resolution which was taken in Johannesburg when the summit, the AU summit was held in Johannesburg, that Africa should strive to be self-reliant. Then the issue of vaccines, the vaccine apartheid, and also threat to food security have demonstrated that Africa still needs to ensure that it's self-reliant and depend on its own resources to achieve some of these requirements which emanate from time to time. So the committee will also be monitoring that, and also monitoring the activities of the ARS, in terms of what it's doing in Africa, because mainly its focus should be in Africa, and then how it supports the flagship projects in the region and also in the continent. In terms of peace and security, Chairperson, I have already highlighted that South Africa is under the SADC mediation, is engaging in Swaziland and in Lesotho. And also, we do have participation in the DRC. And also, they are engaging in monitoring peace efforts in Libya and also Mozambique and the Sahel region, where, you know, the coup belt, as it's called, just to see, you know, what impact peace and security architecture in Africa, what is the impact on that? And also to ensure that the African stand by force is operational, so that it's able to respond to all the threats to peace that emerge within the continent. Now, there is also ongoing conflicts around the world, but more interest now is on the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and the committee would devise its own strategy in terms of how it monitors South Africa's efforts to have peaceful and also a diplomatic approach to the conflict in Ukraine and Russia. Now, in terms of global governance, Chairperson, the NDP has said South Africa should maintain its influential space in multilateral institutions. So this is one area where the committee will be monitoring it, and also monitoring that the participation in these international conferences and forums, as the committee has said, is not interested in numbers, but it is interested on the impact on the outcomes of those multilateral processes, to see that South Africa is making the necessary influence in those conferences that the department attends, and also to actually maintain the issue of the reform of the United Nations system, especially the UN Security Council, on the table, so that at least Africa is represented in the UN Security Council according to the Ezulwini consensus of 2005. Now, participation in the this one is what the committee will be pushing for, that at least if there is a known treaty that is coming to be negotiated, for example, there's a new treaty on the pandemic preparedness, which deals with the, you know, future pandemics, is still at the very initial stages, but at least some of these treaties, the committee would like to be informed and also briefed regularly as the negotiations go on, still observing the separation of powers, where the negotiations are done by the executive, but Parliament has to have its own political view on the matter by being informed as the negotiations progress. And then also to make sure that the SDGs are implemented here in the country, and also relations with the global north are pursued, so that they can actually implement their undertaking on the adaptation support for developing countries, especially on climate change, which the global north had undertaken to help the developing countries with. And then the issue of participating under G20, where South Africa is the only African country in that grouping, it should be used to support the agenda of the Global South. So these are the areas where the committee will also monitor. And then there are issues of solidarity, Chairperson, where the NDP has said South Africa should continue to act as a catalyst and amplifier for the Palestinian cause, So that is an area where the committee would have to focus its oversight strategy for the term, and also Western Sahara to ensure that the right to self-determination is realized by the people of Western Sahara, and also the lifting of unilateral US economic sanctions against Cuba, and the agreement which now it was discussed, briefly, which the committee had asked that it be elaborated more on. Deals for this period, it's still the partnership for development deal, which has been on the cards since 2013, which the department has not yet been able to table to the committee. That will be tantamount to the repeal of the African Renaissance Fund, which the committee has been pushing for, the migration. So that is yet to happen. Now, with the regulations, we have just learned that on the 24th of August, the Act came into force and the regulations are in place, much as the committee had requested that the department share a gentleman's agreement, that the department should share or make the committee part of its stakeholders before it signed off the regulations. That didn't happen, but the Act now is in force and the regulations are in place, which the committee can consider at a later stage. Administrative issues, status, and I won't go over them because the committee has already thrashed them. ICT, property management, personnel, ceiling of employees, and then consequence management, the separation of property management from finance, and then what is in accordance with the Act now that it's in place, the committee would have to monitor closely the curriculum at the Diplomatic Academy to make sure that it's in line with the Foreign Service Act, because that Act insists on people having, before being posted abroad, to undergo certain training and examinations. So this, the committee will be monitoring very closely to ensure that it is actually happening. And then the public diplomacy strategy has been criticized by the committee before, and in the meeting that we have just had now, that it should be proactive. And South Africa should be seen to be responding to issues, because public diplomacy has to be in the country and externally. So it has to focus on both the national audience and also the outside audience. And it has to be proactive. And the committee will be ensuring that during the course of its work. In terms of agreements, the committee is... the Constitution provides different functions for different spheres of government. For the committee, it would be to ensure that they when the treaty is presented, that it approves or not approves the treaty, and then also follow up on the domestication of ratified international agreements. Because what happens now, the department maybe would ratify a treaty after it being approved by Parliament, but then it doesn't come back to Parliament for domestication. So we find challenges in courts where the treaties which are supposed to be applied in South Africa are not, because they are not part of our law, because they have not been domesticated. So, and then those international agreements should address the objectives of the NDP. South Africa should not just enter into international agreements for the sake of it, but it should be addressing national interests. And then public participation, which is what a requirement from Parliament. Then the committee response is the people-centered oversight strategy, which they are going to be putting in place, rolling out. And for this year, because we are left with two quarters, The aim was to have at least one per quarter, so we are left with two quarters. We might be able to, the community might be able to do at least one for the remainder of this year, where it engages with community-based structures and unpack and also get feedback in terms of South Africa's foreign foreign policy. And then media briefings, those ones Chatterson does regularly after meetings, but there will be time where the committee will also jointly address the media on issues of national interest. And then cooperative governance, Chairperson, which is for this committee in particular, there is what para diplomacy and then also consultative mechanisms, where provinces and municipalities engage in international activities. And the challenge has been for the department that these engagements are done without consultation or without coordination by DECO, as it should be under the consultative mechanism. And the fact that now the Act is in place, is in force, a consultative mechanism is in that Act, and the Act provides that all provinces and all municipalities which have international engagement should via the department. So this is one area where the committee would have to focus on and also engage other spheres of government and ensure that they actually adhere to this. There are training agreements between cities and between provinces which they should have, which are allowed that they should have, but the processing, the challenges of the processing. Training agreements can be on safety and, I mean, on rescue and in terms of if there are floods in Mozambique, Mpumalanga can be able to assist the neighboring towns in Mozambique and assist under a training agreement between the two provinces or the two cities. So in terms of economic development activities within the country, this are allowed. It's just that when they go outside, they such entities need to consult with DECO closely. Now, with confinement matters, we have the Continental Free Trade Area, we have the Border Management Authority, and we have illegal migration, which these are the issues which touch upon the mandate of this committee, but the committee will need to confer with other portfolio committees and select committees in order to come up with a harmonized strategy in terms of how oversight in these areas of common interest would be. And then also could possibility of having joint meetings and oversight visits of, you know, between on cross-cutting issues with different committees, and also efforts to actually conduct parliamentary diplomacy activities with other committees which have the same. Now, Chairperson, in terms of oversight, I'm almost done. Normally, the committee will do oversight to DECO because of the oversight model, which is still a challenge, whereby the department would have to, you know, answer questions on what is happening in the missions where the committee is not able to physically go there. Then there will be project areas abroad, which is one area which the committee needs to follow up. It hasn't happened before, which ARF is engaged in different areas in Africa where it's funding projects which the committee will need to oversee and actually assess whether they have impact on the ground, the necessary impact, whether people are benefiting from there, actually realize the necessary impact from those projects. And now the implementation of the Foreign Service Act, it definitely that is it's another one. And then oversight to missions abroad, depending on the oversight model again, and then parliamentary diplomacy on the implementation of bilateral agreements. This is where the committee engages with counterparts in different countries to oversee the implementation of whatever agreements would be existing between the executives. And then geopolitical organizations like BRICS, IPSA, SADC, all those organizations which Parliament actually engages on. The committee had raised issues to say there are oversight elements to these organizations which the committee should be allowed to conduct. And also to have, as a matter of principle, this committee members attending some of these forums which fall under IR, which have elements of IR, where as a principle, some members of this committee should be allowed to participate in those forums. And then also to visit international organizations resident in South Africa, whether it's PEP, or the UNDP, the BRICS Bank, the APRM, NEPAD, all the international organizations which are resident in South Africa. And then also investigative oversight to Palestine, and also the political oversight in the activities of South Africa within SADC, AU, and the UN. Chairperson, in a short overview, this is what the strategic plan of the committee and the APP of the committee contain in terms of the areas where the committee is going to be focusing on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the work that has been done in the presentation. Members, any amendments? I take it that we have all gone through that and we agree with the content. So can we have somebody moving for the adoption?
I move.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngola. Seconda?
I mean a seconda start.
Anyibonga kakhulu ba ubaba Moya. Yes, we are bonga kakhulu masokubona ke. Yebo. Yeah, thank you very much, Agustino. Is there any announcement, Luavalo?
Thank you, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, at this stage, we will be sending a notice of a portfolio committee workshop on national interest. I'm saying this so that members, the date of the workshop will be the 21 of September. I'm saying this so that members can start booking that to Cape Town. I'll be announcing the venue in the course of the week, Chairperson. We're still processing the application. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, thank you very much for the extent to which we engaged with the presentation of the department on both the ARF and the departmental fourth quarterly report and our own plan as the portfolio committee. This is how we come to the end of the meeting today. See you at 3 o'clock parliamentary sitting. Meeting is adjourned. Realebo.
Realebo, how are you, Chairperson?